let you go to the VIP line and welcome Congressman Ken Buck back to 710 KNUS. Congressman, how you doing today?
I am great, Dan. How are you?
Well, great. I've never been through 72 hours like this in a campaign. I'm guessing you haven't either.
No. I'm in D.C. right now, and I am getting on a plane today and flying back to God's country, and I'm going to be anxious to get there. But I agree with you. This has been a whirlwind, and it's hard to figure out what the landscape is going to look like in 3 or 4 days. But I agree with you. I think it is a lot more. I am a lot more optimistic about Trump's chances than I was on Friday night. I just think he did a good job in the debate of drawing the distinctions and making it clear.
I think he did. And let's start with Friday night, though, since I don't think we can separate these two out. We're just going to have to wait and see how what verdict the American people render, at least over the course of the week in the polling, et cetera. But my first thought, I don't know if you're like me, but my first thought on Friday when I heard that tape was, is there a way to replace Trump? Understanding that the only way that would be a benefit is if he magnanimously stepped aside and said, look, it's more important than me, the good of the country. You know, we just need to defeat Hillary Clinton. Is there even a mechanical way to do that? Now, after last night's debate, maybe that's less of an issue. But mechanically, Congressman, you know, is there a way even hypothetically to replace him at this late date?
You know, I suppose hypothetically there is. If he stepped aside, he could vow that he would not be sworn in, that Mike Pence would be sworn in. And I'm sure there's something in the rules that if a nominee died, that this would be the process. And we could assume that if someone withdrew, that would be the process. The ballots are out. The names are on the ballot in all 50 states. It's obvious that Trump is going to be at the top of the ticket when people vote one way or another. So it isn't something I spent a lot of time thinking about what would happen. But he has decided to stay in, and that's the decision.
Are you going to continue to support him?
I am. I am. And if you don't mind me taking a second and explaining, as you know, Dan, I was a prosecutor, and I take sex assaults very seriously. And my office prosecuted hundreds, if not thousands, of sex assault cases, whether it was a rape case or whether it was a misdemeanor sex assault. They all were taken extremely seriously by my office, and I set the tone in doing that. And I also set the tone in sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. I had a video that I made every new employee watch, and they signed a statement. And I did more than any other DA's office and any other county office on that area. But what Donald Trump said was lewd. It was crude. It was inexcusable. But when I look, I have a choice between a President Trump and a President Clinton in 2017, and I cannot tolerate the thought of a President Clinton. And so Donald Trump was not my nominee in the primary process. He wasn't my top five nominee in the primary process, but he is the nominee now. And he is the only chance we have of saving the Supreme Court, of making sure that our position in the world is strong, and that we have a better and stronger economy and give people more opportunity.
You know, I have to tell you, I really respect you for leading that way, because it would be so easy just from a selfish political standpoint to cut Trump loose. You know, would I think be so easy to do, and yet what it all boils down to, as you articulated, is the good of the nation, and you know how important it is to defeat Hillary Clinton, and there's only one way to do it at this point, and that's by electing Donald Trump. So I really do respect you staying true, you know, to that priority, even when it's really tough, as it is right now.
Dan, if Hillary Clinton is elected president, we are going to have a major economic downturn in this country in the next 4 years, and we are also going to see a geopolitical disaster. I don't know whether it's in the Middle East. I don't know whether it's in Eastern Europe, but Russia and others will be a lot more adventuristic and aggressive. And the people that are walking away now, the people that are making a decision to undermine the Trump campaign are going to have to accept that fact and accept the fact that there was only one alternative to a Hillary Clinton presidency.
Yeah, and then you think about the impact on the Constitution, which I know you've shown your whole career you are sincerely devoted to, and as Justice Scalia pointed out shortly before his death, we're losing our democracy. Hillary Clinton packs the Supreme Court with liberals. You know, as she said last week, it's not about the next 4 years, it's about the next 40 years. And literally, we'll lose our democracy because the people won't decide the big issues. You know, five or more liberals in robes will decide the big issues, and we can't vote them out of office. So with that much at stake, I really do struggle. I don't struggle to understand why so many good Republicans can't stomach Donald Trump. What I cannot understand is why they're willing to accept Hillary Clinton and the loss of our democracy.
I agree with you. I think that we have learned a lesson in 8 years of Barack Obama, and Barack Obama has not just divided the country, white against black, and male against female, and rich against poor. He has divided the country and has divided the Republican Party in terms of strategically responding to this wave and aggressive progressivism. And so I think that the Republican Party has really got to come together in the next few weeks or we will be in the wilderness for a long time.
Ken Buck, our special guest. What did you think was Trump's best moment last night, and did Hillary Clinton have a moment that you would consider to be noteworthy?
You know, I think the way that Hillary Clinton handled the tapes was appropriate. I don't think she went overboard, and I'm not talking about politically at this point or philosophically, but just strictly from a debate a tactic. I think she, said her opponent was unfit to serve. She made the argument for women, and she left it alone. I thought that Donald Trump had a number of good quips, which were aggressive, and I thought he did a good job. She continued to walk over into his space, and he backed away, and you could see him in the background. But he didn't stand his ground. He let her take over the space. I don't know if you remember the Senate race when Hillary Clinton ran for Senator of New York.
Yep.
And her opponent walked across the stage towards her, and the media made a big deal about how menacing that looked and how he was trying to intimidate her. Well, she got into his space, and I think he did the right thing and stepped away. And so there were a lot of different games going on last night, and I thought that Bill Clinton's look that is on the front page of every newspaper when he looked at the people that he had attacked sexually. I remember the 60 Minutes episode. I remember sitting there and watching the TV when Hillary Clinton said, "I am no Tammy Wynette."
Right.
Now, she is not a Tammy Wynette. She does not have the talent of Tammy Wynette. She has never created jobs like Tammy Wynette. She has never given people the joy that Tammy Wynette gave people. There's no doubt that she is no Tammy Wynette, but for her to say that she's not just standing by her man is nonsense. She did everything she could to cover up and to enable Bill Clinton's sexual misconduct.
How did you feel about Trump going there last night, including the presser he did with the victims beforehand, bringing them to the debate, that package?
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm not a fan of that kind of stuff. I think that the bottom line is Hillary Clinton's running for president. Hillary Clinton, insofar as she has done things to enable her husband's sexual misconduct, it's fair. Insofar as you go overboard and you try to blame her for the person in her life, the way I look at this, and I think the way that many people look at it that have talked to me in town hall meetings and in other events, Hillary Clinton had one purpose since college, and that was to become president. And she tied her star to a man who was governor of a state and then president, and it was all she was willing to ignore a whole lot of things that most of us would never ignore to achieve her dream of becoming president. And that kind of ambition turns into really bad judgment when you see someone like that get into the White House, because they're now looking at their legacy and they're willing to do anything and they're willing to throw anybody under the bus and they're willing to sell their country down the river to achieve that type of legacy that they think is so important. And I think that's what comes off in all of this sexual misconduct by Bill Clinton.
And Ken, last question. Congressman Ken Buck, kind enough to be with us, standing by Donald Trump, though critical of the behavior on that tape. You know Colorado as well, literally, as anybody alive. You know, you have traveled to every county repeatedly. You know the people of northern Colorado, southern Colorado, everywhere in between. You know, polls aside, where do you believe this presidential race stands in Colorado right now?
You know, I think I do know Colorado pretty well, but I have to tell you, I have no clue what's going on in this election cycle. I never would have guessed that Donald Trump would have run the Republican nominee when there were 17 candidates in that race. And so I think Donald Trump has struck a nerve that a lot of us in politics have either misunderstood or don't recognize. And I think there are a lot of people out there who are attracted to Donald Trump, and he may very well win Colorado to the surprise of many of us. I think that he has standing across this country with a group of people that are so frustrated that they have been ignored by their government, and they feel like there are people that are getting away with not playing by the rules, and that Donald Trump is the guy who's going to make everybody play by the rules.
And last question. What percentage of Democrats feel that way? Because to me, that's the key for Colorado and nationally, is Trump's best hope is a significant number of Democrats, you know, crossing the aisle to vote for Trump, people who feel just the way you articulated. How big a block do you think that is?
You know, between Democrats and independent voters, I always distinguish between sort of the Adams County Democrats and the Boulder County Democrats and the sort of Pitkin County Democrats. You've got Democrats in Adams County who are hardworking, blue-collar. They go hunting. They are Democrats because their parents are Democrats, and they aren't necessarily the liberal type of Democrats. And I see a lot of what we refer to sometimes as the Reagan Democrats voting for Trump. I think they feel the same frustration. They feel that Hillary Clinton is out of touch. There are a lot of Bernie Democrats in Boulder who may not vote for Hillary Clinton, but I think the Reagan Democrats are attracted to Trump.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. And I know this isn't scientific. I'm no political scientist, but I think of, you know, I grew up in Chicago, and I think of, you know, the guy next door who was a garbage man, and then my dad who was a police officer, and then the firefighter two doors down, folks who almost always voted Democratic. But, and I haven't talked to my dad about this because we don't talk a lot of politics, but I could see an awful lot of those folks voting for Trump. And for the very reasons you articulated, the system's broken, insider versus outsider, elitist versus the rest of us, elitist in both parties versus the rest of us. So, in my mind, so desperately wanting to stop Clinton, that is the best remaining hope, is a lot of crossover Democrats.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see that. And I don't think the pollsters are picking up a lot on that. I think you're also going to see a difference in enthusiasm. I was the master of ceremonies for a Trump event last week in northern Colorado. We had 8,000 to 10,000 people inside and outside the arena.
Yeah.
You don't see that kind of enthusiasm for Hillary Clinton, and I think you're going to see that in the next few weeks when people start voting.
And I was talking with our listeners a second ago. I'm looking at Hillary's official schedule right off her website, and after today, she has one appearance the rest of the week. Now, what is that all about? I mean, you're within 30 days, and what is that all about? I mean, Trump, as you know, is doing 2, 3, 4 appearances a day.
I understand the first debate prep. You know, you've been on the campaign trail, you take a couple of days and you prepare for the debate. Once you prepare for one debate and you've learned the issues and you've learned some attack pieces about your opponent, you don't need to prepare for 2 or 3 days for the next couple of debates. And it just brings up these issues about her medical issues and whatnot. I don't necessarily think those are valid, but I do think that there's a question about her tactic and trying to keep the focus on Trump and keep the focus away from her and sort of slide through this. And she's hoping that the clock runs out, and it may very well not run out on her.
And you've been so generous with your time. You know, this isn't scientific, but you look at, when you look at the pictures from her various appearances, and Casey just told me she's added a Wednesday appearance in Pueblo, so fine, two appearances the rest of the week. But you look at her crowds, and they are usually so very small, remarkably small for a major party nominee, let alone the first woman to serve as a major party nominee. They are consistently, stunningly small. And Trump's crowds are often just so large and enthusiastic. I know that's not scientific, but as you just observed what we saw in northern Colorado, you've got to believe this is going to be an enthusiasm election. You know, who has the enthusiasm, whose people actually vote, and ultimately the race is decided by who doesn't vote.
And there's another important point, Dan, that I think is worth noting. Donald Trump takes questions from the media consistently.
Right.
Hillary Clinton avoids the media. For the mainstream media to not be all over her for avoiding the media and failing to answer questions that the American public cares about is disgraceful.
Yeah.
This media is all in for one candidate, and they're not even trying to hide it. It baffles me how people that have spent their lifetime defending the First Amendment and trying to make sure that we get information to voters so they can make an intelligent choice have just completely failed in their mission.
Yeah, and hopefully that'll backfire. Hopefully the American people are sick of that and just see the media as they should. Most of it is just part of that block of elites who look down on real people. But Ken, appreciate your leadership being on the show today and look forward to the next conversation.
I do too, Dan. Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you, my friend. Take care. That's Congressman Ken Buck. And I respect that, Casey. It'd be so easy right now for anybody, any of us, any GOP elected official, anybody listening, to just say, I'm done with him. You know, that stuff Friday was so ugly. It was so nasty, so vulgar. I'm done with Trump. Just can't do it. You know, he's just down in the gutter. And that would be so easy to do for selfish reasons. But how about your country? How about the Constitution? How about your kids? How about your grandkids? How about whether they're going to have the freedom to decide the big issues we've had in this country? So just to sort of protect yourself right now, you're just going to forfeit and turn it over to Hillary Clinton, who has admitted this election will decide the next 40 years through stacking the U.S. Supreme Court? You know, it takes guts to do what Ken's doing, and you risk paying a price for that. But it's also a test of, you know, what are people's priorities? You know, is it themselves? What's easier and best for them? You know, or is it the country? So, Ken, you know, standing up and showing leadership here. Respect that.